The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Rick Gregg, Mr. Voice, and you're listening to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 284 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show today is Michelle Scribner-McLean.
Hey, Michael, my running buddy. We did it yesterday. We got out there and ran. Are you ready for the BAA 10K?
I don't know if I'm ready for the BAA 10K, but the question is, are they ready for us?
So I could do a whole nother show coming off of a sort of a running moratorium. It's nice that we do a running podcast, but the weather was fantastic, and it was a great day, and it was nice to be out there. But it's been a kind of a rough restart for me after the Boston Marathon.
Yeah, it's just not been a good running. It's just, you know, I think you can overdo it with running. I think we've undid just crazy schedules. Yeah. So anyways, we're here to do a show, and we're here to do some reminders before we get into the show. So let's start off with you giving everyone our first reminder.
Oh, well, can I do a shout out first and then roll into the reminder?
That was a test and you passed. Oh, let's do the shout out first.
Thank you. So our shout out is to Florence Porter from Colorado, and she did the Skirt Sport half marathon today, which is fantastic. We love Nicole D. Boom, the owner. We love Skirt Sports, but it was special because, Mike, do you know why? It was Florence's
first
half marathon. So congratulations, Florence. And that's awesome. And now she's all excited to do a Disney half marathon. We know she can do it. And it's just terrific. We love when we hear things like that. And also, here's the segue into our announcements. Florence is one of the 80 people joining us in January after the Disney races. Where are we going?
We're going to Castaway Key after the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend 2016.
Yeah, the Castaway Key Challenge. So we're going to get another set of bling and another cool shirt. And Florence is coming with us. So I'm really excited about this. We're in discussions with MEI about some fun things to do on the ship. And lots of old friends, some new friends coming with us. And there's room for you if you want to go. So sign up how, Mike?
Go to MEI.com, mousefantravel.com, MEI-travel.com, MEI-travel.com. Mm-hmm. And you will see a link there for the Mickey Miles Dream Cruise.
We're going on the dream.
And you will click on that and give them your information, and they will be more than happy. They are the best in the business when it comes to the Disney Cruise line. They have so many, Becky has so many agents, so many vacation planners who know so much about the Disney Cruise line that, you know, there's no question that they won't be able to answer, and they'll be able to tell you exactly how to go about registering for this inaugural Mickey Miles cruise.
I can't stress that enough. I got to cruise with MEI Mouse fan Amanda Gonzalez, and she is amazing, and just as they all are amazing, she just led me around to things that I'd never seen before, and it was my fourth cruise. So anyway, we have another announcement, and that is that we're having a dessert party, and that's going to be during Wine and Dine.
On Sunday, the 8th of November, we will be having an Illuminations dessert party at 8:15. It will be in Epcot. And Michelle, why don't you tell everyone how they can sign up for that?
Yeah, so we have a link on very frequently on the Mickey Miles Podcast Facebook page and Twitter at Mickey Miles Pod. And the dessert party is really fun because you get to go to a special area. You don't have to wait in the crowd or stand behind somebody holding a kid on their shoulder, and you get to sit with buddies at tables and see illuminations and enjoy a dessert party menu that was curated by our very own Mike Scopa. He spent hours talking with chefs, looking at the menu, finding the most delectable dessert
items. Tweaking
recipes,
you know.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So there was a competition on the Food Channel and the Food Network. And
I broke some hearts.
You
I made
did.
Some friends.
Yeah. So well, I just need to know, is there going to be chocolate?
There will be. Actually, there may be more chocolate than you think.
Oh, than I think? I can think big.
So, yes. There will be more chocolate than you think.
All right. So are we ready for questions?
We're doing questions. Michelle, start us off.
Okay. The first one is by Jackie Schmidt. And she says, first, a big humongous thank you for all of your hard work as you serve the mouse-loving running community. My first run ever was the Tinkerbell 10K in 2014. I did great and I felt prepared to run a longer race in the future. A week later, I developed vertigo that lasted many months. It was very difficult to lose all that I worked so hard to accomplish. I was eventually able to recover, and I decided to register for the Disneyland 10K in 2015. But my biggest hurdle has been that my mind remembers running faster and longer, but my body strongly disagrees. After several runs that did not end well, I went back to the Jeff Galloway training and humbled myself to do a 30-30. Success. Not only did my mile per minute drastically improve, I felt so much better afterwards. So thank you for giving us the tools necessary to succeed. I just needed to remember to use the right tool for my situation. And Jackie is from Medford, Oregon. So Mike, Jackie's reminding us that you know, sometimes, as in the case of you and I, we can't always run when we want to run, and we kind of drop back in terms of our training. It's a good idea to use the tools that we already have in our repertoire.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that occurs during anyone's training is that they learn a lot of techniques, and they learn what their body can do and what they can't do. And sometimes when our training falls and our conditioning kind of slips, we remember how it was, and it helps us get back. And so I think that Jackie is a fine example of perseverance and confidence, and I think that we all can learn a lesson from her, and that is that if you did it once, you can do it again, and it should be easier the second time around because you know what you have to do to get to that level. So Jackie, congratulations and good luck.
And Jackie, I'd love for you to write back and tell us how you did and how much fun the Disneyland 10K is, was, will be. Okay, Mike, our next one.
The next question comes from Bernie Edwards, and he says, hi, Mike and Michelle. This is Bernie Edwards from Columbia, Maryland again. As you know, I am relatively new to running. I have been running about 3 years now, but almost all of it has been done on roads, sidewalks, or paved trails in the woods, which is his favorite, he says. I have done a little running on flat-packed dirt and gravel, but just a little. However, I am surrounded by beautiful hiking trails. I have hiked on a lot of trails in my area, especially with the Boy Scouts, but have never tried running on them. Have either of you done any running on hiking trails? Any advice you can provide besides go slow? I'm using the Jeff Galloway run, walk, run method and would still want to use it. I am especially curious about shoes. I see a lot of trail shoes in my local running stores, wondering if I need to buy a pair. Anyways, any advice or tips would be greatly appreciated. Even just a reference for me to look at would be helpful. Sometimes it is hard to know what to believe when reading conflicting advice on the internet. All of this said, I don't know if I will actually try the trails anytime soon. I am signed up for my first marathon this fall, the Marine Corps Marathon. My training is going pretty good. I had a long run of 24 miles last week and was able to maintain a 9 minute per mile pace. I am afraid to do anything that might derail my marathon training. However, there is something to be said for running in beautiful places, and the hiking trails are beautiful. Running in beautiful places is good for the soul. Thanks for any advice, Bernie. All right, Michelle, trail running.
Well, you know, Bernie, I don't think we're going to be able to be very helpful. In fact, we recorded a trail running show recently, and we had It doesn't happen very often, but we had technical difficulties. So that is on our list to record a trail running show. We have two or three fantastic guests. We will do that soon. Having said that, I have a very little experience running on trails. And one of the things that I have learned is you just really have to be heads up every single second, because there are roots and rocks and things like that, and you can go over really quickly. And I had a spill last August, and it, you know, it took me a while to recover. So I'd be super, super careful if you want to make sure that you're okay for your run, and I know you're getting in shape for that. I know there are special shoes. I know there are lots of benefits. For me, I think I'd spend time walking on the trails. I think walking up hills is beneficial, but I don't feel like I'm an expert in this. Mike, what about you?
So, Bernie, a couple things. If you are going to pursue any kind of trail running, I would strongly suggest that you look into trail running shoes, because Michelle had said that she had fallen. I also had fallen when I've been on running trails, and I think we both had running shoes. We didn't have trail running shoes, so there may be a lot to be said about trail running shoes helping you, preventing you from falling. So think about that. Going slow is always a suggestion. I think trail running is a little bit different than road running, so you have to be very, very careful. I think that you want to also be careful that you don't do anything that might hurt your training for your first marathon. We wish you best of luck at the Marine Corps Marathon. Finally, I think that if I were you, I would try listening to an ultramarathon podcast and see if they can give you some insight on trail running and what you have to do. So be careful, and good luck. Let us know how things go, and good luck on your training.
And listen up for a show coming up soon. And Mike, guess what? I'm having dinner with Bernie Edwards this week. Wow. So I'll get to talk to him about this. All right. So our next question is from Chris McAndrew, and he said he is from Bay St. Louis, Missouri. And he says, so I have a question. I really don't have a definitive answer in the FAQ on the Run Disney site. So I didn't see a definitive answer on the FAQ. So I figured I would ask here. I'm registered for Wine and Dine, and my girlfriend is doing the 5K. She wanted to join me for the finish party, but after I run the half, does she need to purchase a ticket, or can she just join me after I complete the half? So, Mike, can I jump in and answer this one?
Yes.
All right, so what you need to do, first of all, not to sound cynical, but this is Disney. Of course, you're just going to have to pay to go, and your regular park ticket, even if you're an annual pass holder, does not work on these days. So you need to order a ticket for her. So if you go down to Wine and Dine, you'll see a link in some of the pictures that says Finish Line Party, and it tells you that the Finish Line Party starts at 10 p.m., and on November 7th, it ends at 4 a.m. on November 8th. And as I said, it doesn't count for a regular park admission. So even, Mike, you and I have annual passes, we would have to pay to go to this. And if you go early, you can get to some of the booths, but it's limited in terms of what food booths are open. There's some character meet and greets, and it says select Epcot attractions will be there. If you want to register, there's a link on there for it. You go to the registration tab, and depending on when you sign up, it could be anywhere from $75 if you sign up before, I believe it's August 18th, and it's called the Finish Line Party, and it goes all the way up until I think in October it's up to $95. So she's going to do it. She should do it early. Now, Mike, you and I think have kind of different ideas about whether or not the Finish Line Party is worth it. What do you think? You didn't ask us, but let's tell him.
I think it depends upon what you want to get out of it. Michelle, does it begin at like 10 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
So it's 10 to 4?
Yeah, 4 a.m.
Okay, so 10 to 4, that's 6 hours. And I think that you know, for some people, if you have a runner there and that person is running and you are with friends who are also going to be at the Finish Line Party, then it might be something that might be really, really fun to do. If you're going to be by yourself till your runner finishes, that might be something different. One of the things that I often fear is that there may be people who will purchase the ticket, and then by 2 o'clock they're tired, so they don't get the full benefit. Not all the attractions are open, not all the food places are open, so that's something that I think has to be considered. $75 is a lot of money, $95 if you really wait. So, you know, I understand that, just like Not So Scary or Mickey's Very Merry, if you've never done it, you might be, you know, you might shortchange yourself if you don't at least experience once. But think about what you want to get out of it and then move forward with that.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you go to Disney all the time, maybe this is not the party for you, and you are going to have to pay $75 extra. I don't know that it's a terrific value, but if it were me and my family and we were only going down once a year or once every few years, I probably would pay the money to do it. Because I go down so often, I probably wouldn't pay the money to do it. But if you're running the race, you get into the party anyway. So Chris, you'll be at the party. And, you know, you can leave or not leave if you want to. But if you want her to meet you there, you have to pay the money. And those things from time to time do sell out, so I would recommend that you do it sooner rather than later.
Chris, we'd love to hear from you guys and your opinion on the after finish party.
Finish line party.
The finish line party.
It's called the finish line party. Yeah, we haven't had a lot of people people go to it after the running, but we'd love to hear from a non-runner what happens, you know, right close to 10 o'clock. We hear it's, you know, that part can be kind of nice in terms of getting in lines and things like that.
And the question I would ask would be, would you do it again? Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next question comes from Eric Yoshimitsu, who says, "Dear Mike and Michelle, thank you for answering my last question regarding shoes. Your answer was very helpful. I really appreciate all you do and all your hard work putting together the Mickey Miles podcast. My wife and I have, as of this writing, run 3 half marathons, and we'll be running the Dumbo Double Dare and Infinity Gauntlet Challenge this year, and are registered for the Dopey Challenge for 2016. The Dopey Challenge will be our first full marathon, and what do we bring to a Dopey Challenge? How many pairs of shoes? How many running outfits? What kinds and how much on-course nutrition should we bring, or can we rely on Run Disney to provide nutrition on the course? If so, at what mile distances for both the half and full? Effectively, since this will be our first Dopey, any hints or help would be greatly appreciated. Lastly, will there be a Mickey Miles podcast meet and greet at Disneyland for either the Disneyland or Avengers half marathon weekends?" Okay, Michelle, these are Dopey questions, which I can speculate what would be the answers, but I'm going to turn to someone who's done the Dopey Challenge to answer these questions.
All right. Well, congratulations, Eric, and your wife for setting this goal. It's a tricky one, but I'm sure you're going to do great. So I went to Walt Disney World last week, and I was marveling at how little my suitcase looked because I wasn't running. I wasn't running all these, multiple events. What I would recommend is that I usually take 3 pairs of sneakers, 2 different pairs to run in and 1 pair to walk around the parks in. The reason I switch off and I do the 5K in 1 pair, the 10K in another, back to the first pair for the half and then the second pair for the half marathon. If something happens, if they get wet, you'll always have another pair, but I wouldn't run all 4 races in the same shoes. In terms of what you would bring, you're going to have to plan for every different type of weather. You know, looking ahead, you want to make sure you look at the weather. But hot, cold, rain, I usually take at least 4 different pairs of running skirts or running tights to wear. And then one thing that you need to remember when you're packing is that each of you is going to get 6 Dopey shirts, so that, you know, the runner tradition is don't wear the shirt for the race the day you're running, but after you run the 5K, you could wear the 5K shirt for the 10K. So if you wanted to cut down on the packing, you could do that. Bring lots of shirts, everything that you feel comfortable with. In terms of nutrition, there's usually gel around mile 9. I want to say there's bananas at mile 11, there's something in around mile 17, and then there's chocolate at mile 21, and I think there might be one more banana stop. Most of the nutrition and gels come in the second half of the race. My suggestion is to bring what you like, what you've trained with. I wouldn't necessarily rely on the stuff that Disney has there. You know that there's going to be some stuff on there, so you don't have to bring quite as much as you would on your regular training run. But bring what you like. Bring the flavors you like. Bring the type of nutrition that you like to bring. Mike, anything to add to that?
Very good advice, Michelle. The only thing I want to add to that is, and we've talked about this many times on the show, thing is, Eric, don't bring anything new. Don't bring anything that you haven't worn or tried before. That means shirts. That means shorts. That means socks, shoes. Break them all in. If you're going to bring two pairs of running shoes, make sure that they're broken in before you get there. You want to be comfort. You don't want anything to bother you, so make sure that you have everything. And this also includes any nutrition. If you're using gels, if you're using energy beans or whatever, if you're doing any kind of drink, recovery drink, bring them along too. You want to be comfort. You want your body to be very comfortable and know where it's been so you can do that. Last thing I want to suggest is you may want to bring recovery drink that you can take at the end of every race, because you're going to need your body to recover. You're going to be doing 4 days in a row. The races aren't the issue as much as getting up every morning for four straight mornings. So good luck. Good advice from Michelle, and hopefully some additional advice from me. And good luck, and hopefully things will work out well. Michelle?
This last question was, is there going to be a Mickey Milers meet and greet at Disneyland for either the Disneyland or the Avengers Half Marathon weekends? And I am not going to be at either one of those. Mike is not going to be at either one of those. But we know there are going to be a lot of Mickey Milers. And we're going to ask our friends to have a meet. And I'm sure there's going to be something going on. If you're a Mickey Miler, Eric, you can look on that page. Or we'll post something on the Mickey Miles podcast page. All right. The next one is from Chad Warrick. And he says, hi, Michelle and Mike. See how I got the names in the right order? He did. Michelle should always go first. As always, I love your podcast, and I really appreciate all of your hard work in doing this for the Disney running community. Well, thank you, Chad. Both of you are inspirational, as are the members of the Mickey Milers Facebook group. My question involves a problem I'm going through, and I feel like I lost my running mojo. I was on a real roll, running and training and loving every aspect of running, setting goals, being excited about training, but then life got in the way with one thing after another, and it looks like I will be going some weeks without being able to train like I want to or need to. Little by little, I feel this transforming into a depression about trying to get that extra motivation to go out there. Oh boy, I wonder if either of you have gone through a running slump where you're just not interested in running or feel unable to go that extra step to get out there and run when life keeps throwing one roadblock after another in your path. Feeling frustrated, thanks. And this is to our buddy, from our buddy Chad in Norton, Mass. So Mike, this is a very timely email, huh? What do you think?
Chad, I feel your pain. Life has gotten in the way. You have to think about priorities, and sometimes trying to figure out how to fit in running can be a job in itself. I don't get to run as much as I think I need to maintain a certain level of conditioning and health, and it's very frustrating. It's gotten to the point where I'm running just on the weekends, and that, to me, it's not enough. I think that what happens is that we all have to look at what we have in front of us on a day-to-day basis and figure out what we need to do to kind of meet all the objectives that we want to meet each day. And sometimes that means making sacrifices. Sometimes that means adjusting schedules. I think that everybody has different situations. So I can't, and Michelle can't, give you advice on what to do, except to give you a general idea that, you know, you're not alone. Both of us, Michelle and I, have gone through this too. It's funny because there are some people who just do a lot of running and they get burned out. So this is a case where I think the three of us, you, Michelle, and myself, are looking at a way to balance it out. So I think look at what your schedule is, try to figure out how you can make adjustments here and there, and And think about little things. Think about the minimum that you can get by with. I think lots of times we are all selfish and we want to get as much as we can. But I think if we take what we can take as far as minimal stuff, I think that that kind of goes a long way. At least that's what I'm looking at right now as I try to figure out how to do the same thing. So good luck and don't give up. Look at all the possibilities and try to figure out what works well for you and take whatever you can. Michelle?
I would venture to say that pretty much every runner I know has been through this. And so you're among friends, Chad. For me, training in the winter for the Boston Marathon just completely burned me out, and I needed a break. And I gave myself the permission in May, and for a lot of June, I've only run a few times since the Boston Marathon. And I've been really thinking about this a lot in the past few weeks. And I think for me, what I need to do is to add back in some of the things that I sort of gave up because I felt like I had to do running all the time. So I'm adding in walking and bike riding, and I'm going to be doing swimming this summer. And also one of the things that I really love to do that I've given up, which is tennis. So I'm adding those back in, and then running is going to be a part of that. We did a show a long time ago called When Running Becomes a Job, and you might want to listen to that one. But I think, you know, just with anything that you're trying to get better at, it's cyclical. You're going to love it and you're going to hate it sometimes, and you have to find different things to get you motivated. It might be something like a new, you know, download a new album, or it may be something like you have you find a virtual running buddy, somebody on the Mickey Milers who's having the same issue. It might be something like finding an app like the Zombies Run app and running with that. So, or a new piece of technology. So please do keep us posted and really know that we've all been there. One of the nice things now is that the weather's so great that, you know, maybe just go out for a walk, or maybe you sign up for a race. I know that one of the things that's motivating me is this BAA 10K. And I'm excited to do that. And I'm kind of giving myself permission to know that it's not going to be the best race, but we're all getting out there. So just, you know, get out there, even if it's just a mile. And I think it'll make you feel better. All right. Anything else, Mike?
No, that's good advice. Good luck, Chad. Hey, go and buy yourself a new pair of running shoes. That might be something that would help. Our last question comes from our old buddy, Tom Kreider, who Tom and I ran a little bit at when we did the Heartbreak Hill half marathon last June. Was it June?
Yeah, it was June
in Boston. And Tom and I ran a little bit before he just took off, took off on the hill. So Tom has an interesting question. And this question comes from the Facebook page. He says, "Hi, hey, Michelle and Mike, any thoughts to designated one of the 2016 Star Wars weekends as a Mickey Milers weekend? This might encourage meetups. Naturally, if Run Disney gets smart and creates an East Coast version of the Star Wars races, that would be our weekend. Best wishes, and I'll see you on the road." Michelle?
Wow, I love that idea. So last week I went to my first Star Wars weekend, and I'm not like a huge, crazy Star Wars fan, but I enjoyed myself very much. And enjoyed the fireworks. So, and one of the things I enjoyed was not really having a race, but wouldn't it be fun to have one of the weekends be a Mickey Milers meetup where we could have a group run, but it could be just us and then all go to Star Wars weekends together? I like that idea, Tom. Mike, what do you think? Wouldn't that be neat?
Yeah, I think that would be neat, and I think I agree with Tom. Says if Run Disney gets smart and creates an East Coast version, that would be our weekend. I think that we still don't know what's going to happen. So if that happens, you know, you be sure. I mean, I definitely would be interested in doing a Star Wars race weekend. So Michelle, I'm sure you would too.
Yeah, but I think he's talking about even if there's no race weekend, that we might have a weekend. That might be neat. One of the things that I learned down there, and I just kind of, you know, booked the trip about 6 weeks ago to get a getaway, is that the first weekend in June is actually a good weekend to go because not everybody's out of school yet, and the crowds weren't too bad. So I don't know. Maybe we could talk to Becky Mankin about it.
Okay, so unofficially, maybe the first week in June.
Yeah, maybe this will get the ball rolling. All right, we'll see.
Speaking, and there's no more question balls to roll because we're done. And so we want to thank everybody for those questions. Keep them coming. We're getting into real heavy-duty training season, so I'm sure there'll be some questions out there. The question you ask, maybe one that many would like to see answered. So thank you very much. Michelle, thank you very much.
Mike, thank you very much. As always, it's a pleasure.
Yes, it is. So, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying, we will see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.